Today, nearly all African countries hold elections of some type. However, the caliber and fairness of these elections varies greatly and reflective of the democratic backsliding that we've seen in recent years. A third of this year's elections are expected to be little more than for show. In fact, these elections are taking place on a very uneven playing field, situations where opposition candidates are restricted from campaigning. Sometimes they're arrested, there's violence exacted against them or their supporters by the security services. The press is barred from covering these opposition candidates. Electoral commissions may be partisan and may even be tolerating vote rigging. And courts may be politicized when appeals are made. And so all these things contribute to really a staged electoral process. And we're seeing that I think in an increasing number of countries. And this year we have cases arguably in Uganda, the Republic of Congo, Chad, Benin, and Djibouti where that's happening. And this comes on the heels of recent elections we've seen in Tanzania and Guinea, where similarly directed outcomes were generated. Now, it's important to keep in mind too that in many of these cases, we're also seeing leaders circumventing term limits, and this is contributing to maintaining in power of some of Africa's longest-serving leaders. That said, there are a number of other elections on the continent that are going to be free and fair, where there's genuine competition of ideas. And it'll be conducted in a transparent process. And these we're expecting to see in Niger, in Cabo Verde, Sao Tome and Principe, and Gambia, among hopefully others.
President Biden stressed that democracy is a core value in U.S. foreign policy, and he would convene a global summit for democracy, and the invited countries will be expected to arrive with a basket of commitments in three major areas. One, fighting corruption. Two, defending against authoritarianism. And three, advancing human rights on the national, regional, and global levels. How could this approach impact U.S. relations with African countries?
Well, most importantly, I think it signals that democratic credentials of African governments will be an important factor in how the U.S. engages with the continent. And I think it's notable that the Biden administration is talking about connecting the national to the regional and the global. So this means that there's a recognition that democratic norms and human rights are reinforced regionally. There are different standards that need to be upheld, and that these in turn shape how transnational challenges on security, on climate, on public health can be addressed more collaboratively. I think it's also notable that the Biden administration seems to be signaling that democracy is not just a valuable goal in itself, but it also supports other objectives, such as security and socioeconomic development. In Africa, three-fourths of all of the conflicts are taking place in countries with authoritarian governments. 90% of the refugees and internally displaced people originate in countries with governments that are not free and fair. We've seen multiple studies show that transparency and better governments contribute to better development outcomes, such as on education, health, food security. So I think the Biden administration is believing that by giving greater emphasis to democratic legitimacy, it can make greater progress on a whole host of other priorities.